Brain Damage is coming up next. Something new. We hope you enjoy it. With your host, well, we'll see. Next up is Concert Bimbo. Concert Bimbo. Concert Billboard. With your host, Bimbo. Eric. Cuff. Well, John.
Erica on 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook with your concert billboard update for Saturday, June the 13th. Tonight, Ian McCall at the Ritz is canceled. Crosby, Stills, and Nash at Jones Beach and an act-up benefit at ABC No Rio with Spitboy, Alice Donut, and the 1.6 Band. On Sunday, June 14th, Melissa Etheridge and Jeffrey Gaines will be at Jones Beach, and the Grateful Dead and Steve Miller Band will be at Giant Stadium. Saturday and Sunday, June 13th and 14th, the New York Tech Expo will be at the Ramada Hotel in Manhattan. Tuesday, June 16th at the Limelight, Chem Lab, and Clock DBA. Wednesday, June 17th, Rod Piazza at Manny's Car Wash, Agnostic Front, Murphy's Law, Nuclear Assault, Lunatics, Leeway, Radix, and Right to the Accused, and Functional Idiots will be at the Palladium. Screaming Trees, Babes in Toylands, and 3Ds at the Academy. Pop Will Eat Itself at the Limelight, and KMFDM, Cop Shoot Cop, and Bark Market at the Ritz. Thursday, June 18th, Body Count at the Academy. L7, Ween, Love Battery, Finger at the Marquee. Rod Piazza at Manny's Car Wash, and Die Croup, Sister Machine Gun, Meat Machine, Emergency Broadcast Network, and Crash at the Palladium. Friday, June 19th, live, Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, Wire Train, and A-House at the Academy. Echo and the Bunnymen, Cud, and Kingmaker will be at the Marquee, Russian Mr. Big at the Meadowlands, and My Bloody Valentine, Super Chuck, and Pavement at the Ritz. Saturday, June 20th, Bug Out Society, Starry Excuse, and Iron Cross State at ABC No Rio, Bad Trip, Refuse to Fall, Black Train Jack, and Into Another at Right Track Inn, Ride Levelers and Pale Saints at the Academy, Fat Burger at IMAC, Russian Mr. Big at Jones Beach, which is sold out, Bay House and Pierce Turner at the Marquee, and the Butthole Surface, Soul Asylum, Prong, and Diamond Gallic at the Roseland. Sunday, June 21st, Saigon Kick and Naked Sun will be at the Limelight. Tuesday, June 23rd, Spinal Tap at the Beacon Theater, and Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band at Jones Beach. Wednesday, June 24th, Fear, Dwarves, and Elvis Hitler at the Ritz, and Philip Walker at Manny's Car Wash. Thursday, June 25th, Clarence Gay Mount Brown will be at Manny's Car Wash. Concert Billboard can be heard weekdays, 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends and at noon at midnight. If you have any questions, feel free to call the station at 632-6901, and stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB, Stony Brook.
Hours a day. This is Brain Damage, and today is Election Day. Surprise.
Start of a brand new day. This is voicemail. If you want to leave a message for somebody, press 1. If you know the mailbox you want to go to, press 2. If you don't have a touchtone phone, press 3. If you insist on being difficult, hold on and leave a message. Don't have a touchtone phone. Well, no need to feel embarrassed. We don't discriminate. All you have to do is leave a message here and make sure you say who you want the message to be forwarded to.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. Please enter your passcode. Welcome to the Message Center.
You're listening to Brain Damage, of course. And yes, today is Election Day, even though you may not have known that. Today is the day that we find out, or at least begin to find out, who's going to win the race for the number one job in the country. And if you've been following that number one job recently, it's been kind of a joke. Anyone see the speech out of Brazil yesterday? Well, it wasn't on TV, so it was kind of hard to do that, but definitely not our finest hour, I'd say. Saying he had nothing to apologize for, President George Bush defended the U.S. environmental record as second to none. Sort of makes you want to know what none is like. He did that at the Earth Summit yesterday and challenged other nations to match U.S. commitment to cutting global warming gases. In a coolly received speech to delegates from 178 nations, Bush also explained his refusal to join industrial nation allies in signing a biodiversity treaty, saying it threatens to retard biotechnology and undermine the protection of ideas. It is never easy to stand alone on principle, but sometimes leadership requires that you do, and now is such a time. Conceding that there has been some criticism of the United States, Bush put forward as a simple truth the assertion that America's record on environmental protection is second to none. So, I did not come here to apologize. We come to press on with deliberate purpose and forceful action. Members of the audience, which included many heads of state, gave Bush's speech only polite, minimal applause. When reporters asked Bush later if he had heard any reaction to his talk, he said, "Yes, very favorable." Asked who had told him that, he nodded toward his wife and said, "Barbara." Reaction was decidedly unfavorable from environmentalists and Democrats, as well as most of the rest of the world. In Washington, Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton, who has clinched the Democratic presidential nomination, said Bush policies made the United States the lone holdout to environmental progress, and insisted that, had he been president, he would have proudly signed every Rio document. "We have blown a great opportunity," he said. One Native American leader said Bush showed little concept of the urgency of environmental action. "It's an insult, but it's not unexpected," said Chief Orrin Lyons, faith keeper of the Onondaga Nation from upstate New York. George Bush remained mostly still until Fidel Castro began to speak. And then the U.S. president began to grimace a bit and lean his head on one hand. Bush and Castro just slightly brushed shoulders as the dignitaries mingled. Castro was greeted by a prolonged ovation from the delegates of the more than 170 nations in attendance, while Bush received scattered applause and a smattering of snickers. Castro, known for his hours-long discourses, spoke for fewer than the 7 minutes that was allocated to each of the leaders, while Bush spoke 1 minute longer. Castro blamed the industrialized world for the problems of environmental distress, saying it was a form of imperialism, They have poisoned oceans and rivers. They have contaminated the air. They have weakened and opened holes in the ozone layer, and they have saturated the air with poisonous gases. It is not possible to blame the Third World nations for this, for only yesterday they were colonies. They still are spoiled and plundered by an unjust world economic order. Tens of millions of women, men, and children die in the Third World every year as a consequence of this. Far more than died in the two world wars. So the environmental summit is at an end. The biggest meeting on the environment ever in the history of the world. How does the United States look now? And how do you, as Americans, or we presume most of our listeners are Americans, how do you feel about this? Were you represented in Brazil? And what can we do if we feel that we were not? In local environmental news, Robert Moses State Park may be open again, but up to 20,000 would-be beachgoers could find themselves closed out this weekend. According to Newsday, while the globs of heavy fuel oil that forced the closing of the park for 4 days this week have been removed, a storm on June 5th continues to create problems. That storm was what brought the oil on shore in the first place, but of course it's human beings that dumped it. It simply came back to haunt us. The June 5th storm carved out 25 to 100 feet of beach, leaving less space for sunbathers and swimmers. But I think we can recover from that. Oil slicks and oil globs and horrible things like that becoming more and more common, more and more expected. And yet there's less that we do each year. They refused twice. Try them a third time. We're not going to let them get away with that. We are working on a special project here that we'll fill you in on in a few minutes. First, we're going through some more interesting news of how advanced we are in the 20th century. Here, Kmart is banning Magic Johnson's book because it doesn't like the words Magic Johnson uses to describe things like sex, contracting AIDS, things like that. So if you're interested in getting that book, it only sells for $3.99. It's unbelievable. Don't look in Kmart. You won't find it there. Kmart is a family store. And we know families have no interest in this kind of thing. And some interesting happenings fairly locally in Wyandanch, of all places. See the story in today's Newsday? Scuffle draws 200 to Wyandanch streets. A 22-year-old Wyandanch man was injured last night during a scuffle as police tried to arrest him, bringing more than 200 residents into the streets after hearing police had shot the man. Suffolk police, who said they were arresting Jeffrey Knight of Wyandanch for a previous robbery, said he received a head cut during the scuffle and that a police handgun had been discharged. Hold on. What's the update? Did we get number three?
No. Mississippi happens to be the rudest bunch of people.
Well, we'll just have to head down there if they don't give us what we want.
Well, the thing is that there's no 7-Elevens.
Okay, well, now
I tried Quick Mart.
Dropped the bombshell on our audience that I had not yet dropped on them about these 7-Elevens.
Well, they still don't know what the heck's going on.
Well, your goal is to find somebody that's awake and open in Mississippi.
I asked that. I asked if there's Quick Mart. I asked a couple other things, and then finally I called back and I said, I need help. I'm looking for a convenience store that's open 24 hours. And they said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. One lady refused to give me the number outright.
Well,
they are really snotty about it, too.
Consider it a challenge, because that's the one state standing in the way. And once you get something there, we can begin. But we can't begin until you do.
Give me some more names to throw at these people.
7-Elevens, Wawa's, Store 24. I don't know. Try gas stations, if nothing else.
Or a Texaco, right? Like
well, it's got to be 24 hours, though. That's the whole thing.
Wawa, what was the other one? Store 24?
The Store 24. I don't know. There's other things.
She actually said, sorry, sir, I have nothing under a 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
And before I could say thank you, hung up on me.
Wow. Ask for a supervisor. That always helps. Yeah. Ask for the supervisor.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
I'm having fun.
Kevin's having fun, and we're going to be having more fun in just a couple of minutes. Let's go back to Wyandanche. The incident took place in front of the... Well, I'm not going to say where he lives. I don't know why they have to do that in this paper. Who cares where he lives? But it took place in front of his home. Actually, it took place in front of the home of somebody else, David Wiles, who told police he saw Knight nearby. He said he recognized him as a man who had robbed him of cash and jewelry on May 1st. He called detectives in the first squad, and by the time police arrived, Knight had left, but was found elsewhere and brought back to the same house on the same address that they give yet again, to be identified by Lyles at 5:45 p.m. Knight was then informed he was under arrest, whereupon he started yelling and screaming, "I didn't do anything wrong. What am I being arrested for?" Cops don't like it when you do that. Oswald said, that Detective Sergeant Robert Oswald said, when the police tried to put handcuffs on Knight, he began to struggle. The police and Knight were wrestling on the ground. According to Oswald, Knight was on top of Officer Timothy Dillon and Officer Jeffrey Goldberg was on top of Knight. Oswald said, Dillon yelled to Goldberg, "He's trying to get my gun." Goldberg drew his own revolver and pointed it at Knight and told him, he was under arrest, and under Officer Jeffrey Goldberg as well. Knight allegedly grabbed at Goldberg's weapon, and it went off. More police arrived, and Knight was subdued and removed from the scene with blood running from his head. He was taken to Good Samaritan Hospital in West Islip. More than 200 people gathered after hearing that Knight had been shot by police, and up to 20 additional police were called to the scene, while still others manned a command post at the Wyandanche Firehouse. Deputy Chief of Patrol Gerald Marco said the crowd became verbally abusive and slashed at least 6 tires on the police cars. There were no arrests. Oswald said medical personnel determined the wound was not a gunshot wound. And now, there's all kinds of paperwork to be filed. And this was also the week that President Bush got tear gassed. And government officials in Panama are demanding to know why tear gas was fired and in such large quantities to disperse anti-American demonstrators who disrupted a planned speech by George Bush 2 days ago. The spectacle of Bush and his wife Barbara being hustled away as gunshots and tear gas were fired during their brief visit has created a major embarrassment for Panama's government. The Bushes appeared shaken and pale and were wincing from tear gas fumes, but otherwise were unharmed in the incident at Plaza Para in downtown Panama City. Local headlines read, "Shame in Panama, an absurd spectacle." Bush said later on Thursday that he appreciated Panama and the Panamanians. This is why he likes us to be so close to them. And he said that no small leftist protest group will change our opinion. Amen. And Kevin's back. Did we get anywhere in Mississippi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Possible. She said possible. Something called a Delta station.
A Delta station? Okay, well, obviously, we're going to have to take them at their word, but if they fail us, we'll be back.
So here's your list, and I'll go work on the other one.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no. Thank you.
No.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Are you starting that now?
I'll be starting this in about 5 minutes. And I suppose now is as good a time as any to explain just what it is we're doing here. Well, of course, we're taking phone calls and dropping things all over the place. At 632-6901. And that's about enough of that, isn't it? Yeah. 632-6901 is our telephone number. And, of course, all those lines are taken up. We're taking phone calls in, talking about the Earth Summit, talking about presidential politics and elections and things like that. But we're also doing something different today. And, yeah, I know we said we were going to do teleconferencing, too. Hopefully we'll have a chance for that. But that will be a little bit later on, anyway. What we are going to do today is hold a kind of a caucus of our own, venture out into various states of this union, and find out what the mood of the people is. Find out who people will vote for. And what we're going to do is we're going to have sort of a, I guess a convention of sorts, electoral college, or whatever you want to call it. And what we will do is keep track of who the most popular candidates are. I know I'm searching for a single piece of paper in this place, but of course, that's almost impossible to find. I can't use that. I can use this. Okay. I have to tear a record sleeve in half, but that's just the kind of thing you got to do. Okay, what we've got is a listing of various convenience stores, fast food places that are open in the middle of the night. And we're going to venture throughout this land of ours and see just what the prevailing mood is. The choice is simple. George Bush, Bill Clinton, or Ross Perot. Each worker in each convenience store will be voting for their entire state. That's right. Well, it's just as absurd a notion as we have now, but actually I think it's kind of less absurd, because I think workers in convenience stores represent the people a lot better than anybody else does. But then that's just my personal opinion getting in the way again. Okay, what we're going to do is keep track. Have a big B there for Bush, a C for Clinton, and a P for Perot. And we'll keep track that way. We're going to try to do 25 of them tonight and 25 of them next week and see just how accurately this reflects the mood of the nation. And our phone number is 632-6901. If you're online now, we'll be getting to the phones in just a couple of minutes, kind of alternating back and forth between calls out and calls in. All right. Our first stop. Where shall our first stop be? Okay, let's do this. Let's pick up the phone and get an outside line. Now, what's wrong with the phone? Ah, there we go. Okay, we have an outside line, and we're going to give a call to the rather large state of New Mexico.
Where? 7-Eleven, may I help you?
Ah, yes. Is this 7-Eleven in Albuquerque, New Mexico?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random poll of American citizens.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could tell me, of the three major presidential candidates, who would you be most likely to vote for at this point?
Well, at this point, I will say Perot.
Perot. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. One vote for Perot. New Mexico goes with Perot. All right. Just write that down, put a little P next to New Mexico, and give one to Ross Perot. And now, we're off to the glamorous state of Wisconsin, where they don't have 7-Elevens, I understand. We had to be a little tricky there. They have stores called Supermerica's.
Supermerica, Sherman Avenue.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans regarding who they would vote for in the presidential election of the three major candidates.
Seeing that I'm at work right now, I cannot discuss any of that.
Can you give us just one name?
I think Perot.
Perot. Okay. Thank you very much.
If he's put on the ballot, for sure.
Okay. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. People are busy. We know that. People in these convenience stores are extremely busy. But so far, Ross Perot is unanimous. The states of New Mexico and the state of Wisconsin have both given all their electoral votes to Ross Perot. Okay. Our next stop will be the strange and mysterious state of Idaho. By the way, calls like this are cheapest at this time of night. Idaho, this is going a long way.
Rectory, this is Chinta.
Now, how did I get the rectory assistance? I don't know how I got them. All right, let's try that again. I might have misdialed. Sometimes I do that. We're going to Boise, Idaho. That's better.
Speaking. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. Am I reaching Boise, Idaho?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio in New York.
Uh-huh.
And we're taking a random survey of Americans throughout the country as far as who they would vote for, the three major candidates, if the election were held today.
Uh-huh.
Can you give us your choice?
Bush.
You'd vote for Bush?
4 more.
Bush, sorry?
Excuse me?
4 more years, you want?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you very much for your help.
Bye.
He sounded very enthusiastic. So the state of Idaho goes with Bush. So far we have Perot with 2 votes, Bush with 1, and Clinton with 0. All right, now we're going to go with that difficult state of Mississippi. All right, I hope that I can read Kevin's handwriting here. I'm not sure if this is a 0 here or I don't know what it is, but all right, worst comes to worst, we wake up somebody. Wouldn't be the first time. Mississippi gave us quite a bit of difficulty getting a listing for 7-Eleven. I don't even know what we're calling a Delta station, I believe. Delta station in Jackson, Mississippi, whatever a Delta station is.
Delta?
Hi, is this Delta station?
That's Delta station.
Okay, I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of people throughout America, and we'd like to know if the election were held today, would you vote for Bush, Clinton, or Perot?
Clinton.
You would vote for Clinton?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right. Mississippi goes with Clinton. You wouldn't have expected that, would you? You'd think they'd be more conservative down there, but... rather surprising. State of Mississippi has voted for Clinton. Idaho goes with Bush. New Mexico and Wisconsin both go with Perot. All right. Let's take some phone calls now, 632-6901. We'll get back to our electioneering in just a couple of minutes. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
What you been up to?
I'm making a lot of phone calls.
I see that.
And reading the newspapers and various things like that. What have you been up to?
Not much, looking for a job. I got laid off.
Really?
Yep.
What did you do before you got laid off?
I was working at a hospital.
Uh-huh. Well, it seems like there's a lot of sick people these days. I'm surprised you get laid off.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it seems like we need more people in hospitals than ever before.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What did you do in this hospital?
I was a food service worker.
Ah, well,
But food.
Yeah, that's always been a bone of contention with a lot of people in hospitals is the food, but I guess you can't be blamed for that.
Guess not.
Well, anyway, you're free of that for now. What other lines of work do you plan on pursuing?
I'm thinking of going into auto mechanic, maybe.
Well, the two are closely related.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your experiences in one field will benefit you in the other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, out of curiosity, not that this counts for anything, but who would you vote for today?
Probably Bush.
You'd vote for Bush.
Yeah.
How come? You approve of the way Bush is handling things these days?
He's on the border, but I don't know. It's a tough decision.
Yeah? And who's your number two?
Probably Perot.
Really?
Yeah.
You like Perot more than Clinton. Why is that?
I don't know. He's not on the, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. A lot of people are saying the exact same thing.
I don't think he's a good president. He won't be a good president.
Uh-huh.
The way he says everything, you know, he's not raise taxes and all that.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people will be voting for him just to make a statement, to say that they're fed up with the two-party system.
Right.
And that's, I see that as healthy. I'm not really sure how good Perot would be. I'm not really all that comfortable with anybody, to be honest.
Right.
But, you know, I'm always open to a change.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Anything else on your mind tonight?
Yeah, can I make a shout-out?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm on the line.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hello?
How you doing?
This is Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi. You talk about politics now?
Well, we're sort of delving into it a little bit, just, you know, seeing what people are into and, you know, how embarrassed they are by this whole Brazilian thing.
I'm not embarrassed about the Brazilian thing at all.
You're not?
I would vote for Bush, right?
Yeah.
But I think Perot is a loser. He has no platform. How can you call himself a politician?
Well, they're building the platform right now. They're just looking for a good carpenter. But once that's done, there's going to be quite a platform, I understand.
He hasn't even declared himself yet, but he's supposed to pretty soon.
Isn't that amazing that he hasn't declared himself a candidate yet? He's getting all this support. I mean, you know, two 7-Elevens voting for him like that.
7-Eleven, that's a pretty big majority there.
That, well, two out of four is not bad. Not bad. But, of course, we have 46 more states to go.
Yeah. This Brazilian thing, I mean, how can the U.S. its whole economy is an industry. How can we sacrifice our livelihood for just...
Well, I'd have to say that the environment, you know, represents all of our livelihoods. And if we sacrifice that, it doesn't really matter how good our economy is, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, we could, like, cut down a little, but, like, not just totally stop the whole industrial system for it.
Well, is anybody else stopping their whole industrial system?
No, not that I know of.
So how come we can't do what everyone else is doing?
I don't know. And what's Castro blasting all the nations and, like, not blaming any of the third world nations?
Well, I mean, third world nations are poor, so they don't contribute all that much to the pollution levels. I mean, considering the industrialized nations do the vast majority of it, you can't really say third world. I mean, you have a third world nation that destroys its environment. It's generally because they literally have nothing else they can do to survive. Whereas we have the luxury of having a choice. We can sacrifice a bit, and we can conserve things and start recycling, and we can help those third world nations get to the point where they can do it themselves too. But if we stand back and just let them, you know, make their own choices and you know, depend on the small amount of money they do have now, I don't know. I don't think it's going to turn out all that good.
The third world nations, they're the ones who are mostly contributing to overpopulation.
Well, that's true. That is true. But a lot of that is because of, you know, again, lack of funds to get education, to get proper birth control equipment and things like that.
Well, if they know they're overpopulated, why do they keep having babies? Like,
well, it's a human kind of a thing. You know, it's kind of hard to get into.
All right, main reason I called tonight. I was reading this article in a magazine.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Where Science and Religion Collide.
Yeah.
That right now, the church is like, getting mad at the scientists because they're teaching about the Big Bang, that God didn't create the universe and everything.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think God has a lot of explaining to do if he's not responsible. And I hope he has given his chance to rebut these charges. But apart from that, I think you got to, you know, you got to look at science and religion as two separate things. Religion is something that, you know, different people believe in for different reasons. Science does not tend to discriminate.
So, there was this poll that said, who believe that God created man the way he is now, 50% of the population believe that. Then there's another category that said that man evolved from apes, but God guided that. Like 48% voted for that, and 2% voted that it was just pure evolution. And I don't know. I don't think that's right. I think they're finding so much evidence nowadays that I think God's playing lesser and lesser role in it now.
That's only 2% think evolution was everything, and that God didn't really have anything to do with it?
Yeah, that's a 2%. And I'm that 2%. So.
That's kind of weird. I would expect it to be much bigger than that.
Oh, yeah, but among college graduates, the percentage was much higher. And, like, for people who didn't graduate high school, it was like almost everybody voted for God created them like that. So I think education has a lot to do with it, too.
Well, you know, those people playing it safe, saying, well, it was evolution, but God controlled it. They're covering all bases there.
Yeah, I mean, that universe, they're finding all this stuff about the Big Bang, but the church keeps saying, no, God created the universe. It was always, God was just always there, and he created the universe. And I'm saying, if God was always there, how come the universe couldn't just been always there? That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, you're going to drive yourself crazy if you try to think about that. The point is, nobody really understands how it all works, and one theory is as good as another, but I have to think that we should separate pure fantasy from something that has at least a basis in fact. And science does tend to have that basis. You might call something a theory, the theory of evolution, but it's based on all kinds of facts. It's not something that, maybe we're wrong, maybe evolution didn't happen at all. Theories are within the whole idea of evolution. Maybe it happened one way, maybe it didn't happen another way, but nobody is saying evolution didn't happen. Nobody in the scientific world, that is.
Oh, the church is saying no, it didn't happen.
Yeah, the church is not in the scientific world. And in fact, I wonder if they're in this world at all sometimes.
That's like a stupid thing.
Yeah, they have their own agenda. They have their own reason for doing things. You have to take all that into consideration. And also, whenever you look at a religious group, always ask how they deal with all the other religious groups in the world. If they say, well, we're the ones that are chosen, we're the ones that are going to go on to the kingdom after it's all over, and everybody else is just going to rot in hell, and you know people that, you know, go under the categorization of everybody else, and you know they're decent people too, then I think that particular church, that particular religion is worth nothing if they're going to condemn people they don't even know.
Some religious people are fine when, like, you talk about, like, the weather or politics. When it gets to religion, they get out of hand. Like, start accusing you of being, like, Satan and everything if you talk about, like, the Big Bang or something like that.
And
I think sometimes you can get out of hand when talking about the religion.
It's that kind of thought that's kept progress back for many, many centuries. And, you know, it's something that everybody has to decide for themselves, obviously. But, you know, you should never let yourself become controlled by somebody that claims to have all the answers, because the fact of the matter is nobody really understands how it all works. Nobody does, no matter what they say.
I feel I'm going to change the topic one more time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talking about who's Clinton and Perot going to pick for the vice president?
Good question. I don't know.
Ideas or anything?
I haven't heard any speculation recently. I mean, I was thinking things like Cuomo and Jackson, but I can't even say now. I don't know who they would pick.
And I think Clinton's going to go with Jackson.
But, you know, if either one picks a really strong candidate, like Cuomo or Jackson or somebody else, that could make a big difference. It really could. Now, Bush has a decided disadvantage here because he already has his vice presidential candidate, and we all know who that is.
Embarrassment to him.
Yeah, and it's not going to help him at all. I don't see how it possibly can. So I think a key thing in this presidential election is going to be the vice presidential candidates.
I don't know if you saw on Newsday, Quayle was on the island a couple of days ago.
Yeah, he was. It was scary, wasn't it? He was playing basketball.
I'm like afraid it was going to be like a riot or something. But
well, that's because he didn't tell anybody he was coming.
I know. Like, if someone was like, he knew he was going to come, they'd probably put up barricades, like, stay out of New York.
Yeah, it would have been a lot worse if people knew he was here.
And I read something that they said he was coming here to blast Mario Cuomo because he's going to run against him in 96.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's speculation.
That's what I heard.
But he and Cuomo have this this feud that's been running for about a year now, I think.
Yeah, because he called him like an Italian something, meatball something.
Something like that.
Another stupid thing out of the mouth of Dan Quayle.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what you paid for.
Well, yeah, I don't know why anyone would want to vote for Quayle in 96. That's something that I just don't understand.
I don't know, but I'm sure I'll be hearing from Mr. Quayle on the phone real soon.
He's probably going to say something about me or something.
Yeah, he probably will.
All right. Listen, can I say hi to a couple people?
Go ahead, say hi.
Tim, and Tom.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
First of all, I'd just like to say hi to a few people.
Okay. Most people say that to the end, but you're going to start off saying that, so go ahead.
This is Ralph from Unconquered. I'd just like to say hi to Kev, Mike, Chris, Andy, and Jones Scraper.
And what?
Jones Scraper.
Jones Scraper?
Yeah, if she's listening, she'll know.
I won't get into it, but okay, and what's on your mind today?
First of all, I'm not voting. If, you know, when I'm not, like, old enough to vote, but if I was, I wouldn't vote for any three of them. I would vote for Candace Bergen, definitely.
Murphy Brown fame, huh?
Yep, definitely.
Well, then I could say you're definitely not going to vote for Bush and Quayle. You're at least closer to the other two than you are to Bush and Quayle.
Yeah, well, Bush is getting senile, so forget about him. And if I had to vote for anything, I'd vote for Clinton. Yeah, he can get around.
I don't think Duke is running, and Bush just turned, what, 68 2 days ago?
Well, he's getting senile, I bet, yeah.
Well, he's getting up there. You don't think of him as somebody that's almost 70 years old.
Mm.
But you know who else is in his 70s? Charles Bronson. Can you believe that?
Yeah, he looks pretty old, though.
I guess he does, but still, you don't think of him as being in his 70s.
Nope.
I mean, that's... Well, I mean, it's not that... Well, it's pretty
okay,
old.
Though.
It's pretty old. Yeah, it's up there. Mm. So, anything else on your mind tonight?
And, you know... Wait, Duke isn't in the runnings?
No, he's out of it.
If he was, I you know... God forbid he was, you know. The one person I doubt he'd vote for vice president would be, Jackson. You know, because if he does, you know, still have those feelings, you know, the KKK, he wouldn't, you know, vote for him.
Well, it's kind of hard. Once you've been in the Klan, it's kind of hard to really prove that you've changed.
Yeah,
you know, there had to have been something in
you. I don't want to, like... stereotype them, but, like, you know, once one of them, like, always
well, I mean, you know, if you're running for a powerful position, I think you got the right to stereotype somebody based on their actions in the past.
Yeah, I know, but, and like, you know, I've said before, I'll say it again, you know, it's like he came out and said it.
Uh-huh.
You know, like he was proud of it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't think he's that qualified, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your opinion.
Thanks for letting me on.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to get back to the phones in just a moment. First, let's resume our poll of 7-Elevens around the country. So far, we stopped in four states. Those states are New Mexico, Wisconsin, Idaho, and Mississippi. And our standing so far, one vote for Bush, one vote for Clinton, and two votes for Perot. Let's get some other 7-Elevens and assorted convenience stores on the phone and see just what the mood of the nation is tonight. We're going now to Evansville, Indiana.
7-Eleven.
Hello, is this Evansville, Indiana?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random survey of Americans to see who they would vote for if the election were held today of the three major candidates.
Perot.
You'd vote for Perot. Okay. All right, thanks very much.
Got to get back to work, bud.
Okay, you do that. Bye-bye. And it sounds like he's doing a lot of serious work there. Whew, I don't know what particular bit of music that was, but another vote for Perot there from Indiana. So we have three states now that are committed to Perot, Indiana, New Mexico, and Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, I love scientific polls. This is great. Okay. Wait a minute, what's this? An 800 number? How can a 7-Eleven have an 800 number? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, we're going to try it. We're going to try it, but I don't think this is really going to work. According to the phone company, the 7-Eleven in Delaware has an 800 number. I can't imagine why they would have an 800 number, so we could... it's probably just for people in Delaware. I don't know. We'll see what happens. This will really surprise me. Maybe we're getting that corporate headquarters or something? No.
You have dialed a number that is not available from your calling area. TN2OP.
Okay, now what that means is we made it to New York City, and then the computer came in and said, no, we can't call that number. You have to be in Delaware to call that number. So, try for this city again. Make sure you get the local number in that area code.
Okay, in the meantime,
great.
Can you tell me what the heck that says?
That's Paducah, Kentucky.
Paducah.
Paducah, Kentucky. Yeah, this is the place called Paducah, Kentucky, and I suggest we don't make fun of it.
Yeah.
Because they could be listening to us right now somehow. No, anybody in the world can listen to us, you know. They can call 516-689-1662 and listen to us anytime. What?
Those other ones that have no luck.
No luck? Kevin, I don't want to hear that.
I
don't want to hear... No, you don't have to take that piece of paper, though.
I do. I can't even...
Well, if you take that piece of paper, I have nothing to work with.
Well, then give me 3 minutes now.
Okay, just write that. I'll write this down. Sorry to be speaking so cryptically. All right. That's the state, that's the city, and that is the area code. And, all right. So we're having trouble from four more states, looks like. We'll get the rest of these if it kills us or kills people at the phone company. What is this, under threat of supervisor?
She was scared of me going to the supervisor. She refused to give me the supervisor.
She refused to give you the supervisor? They're not supposed to do that.
I'll do it. Why can't you
cut me? Oh, boy. You got to love the phone company. Now, okay, we're going to skip Delaware for the moment since they're being a pain. But we're going to go to a very significant state. And that significant state is Bliss. No, that significant state is Texas. Texas, where both George Bush and Ross Perot have come from. This will be a very significant vote here. Will the state of Texas go for Perot or for Bush? We know they're not going to go for Clinton. We're calling a 7-Eleven in Corpus Christi.
Hello, am I helping?
Yes, hello. Am I reaching Corpus Christi, Texas?
Excuse me?
Is this Corpus Christi, Texas?
It is.
Great. I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking people, if the election were held today, which of the three candidates would you vote for?
What candidate?
Maybe Bush, Clinton, or Perot.
Sit right behind you, sir. Bush.
You vote for Bush?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. I bet she doesn't realize the significance of her actions. She has just committed the entire state of Texas to George Bush. Which three candidates? Did she really ask that? Okay. So, Bush holds on to Texas. Now, we're going to take a journey a little bit further away. Whoops. We're going to go to Hawaii. And I assume they have 7-Elevens there. And I'm kind of curious as to how they would vote. That's the sound of the Pacific Ocean there. Yes, hello. I'm calling from WUSB Radio in New York. Am I reaching Hawaii? We're taking a random survey of Americans, and we're asking them, if the election were held today, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
Oh, see? I don't understand, you know.
Okay, well, basically what we're asking you is, of the three major candidates, namely George Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot, who would you vote for if the election were held today?
George Bush.
You would vote for George Bush?
Okay. Three of them.
Which of the three would you vote for?
Bush.
Okay, so you would vote for George Bush?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hey, bye.
Oh, boy, I made her night. And it's only about 6 o'clock in the evening there, I think. Okay, so with Hawaii, George Bush has now caught up to Ross Perot. I'm sure he'll be grateful for that particular bit of good news. 3 votes for Bush, 1 vote for Clinton, 3 votes for Perot. Hawaii goes for Bush. Hawaii and Texas both going for George Bush here. Okay, we're still waiting for Delaware. Let's go to Illinois now. And what they have in Illinois is slightly different. They have stores called Minuteman stores. So we're going to see how the Minuteman vote comes through here.
Minuteman.
Yes, hello. Am I reaching Rockford, Illinois?
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York, and we're calling Americans all over the country at random to ask them if the election were held today, which of the three candidates would they vote for?
three, huh? I would have to say, wouldn't be Clinton, and it wouldn't be Perot.
Well, that leaves one major one, unless you want to name somebody else.
No. Mm-mm.
You going to go with Bush?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, you know, you just put Bush in the lead. We're taking a random survey of convenience stores throughout the whole nation, and so far Bush has...
This isn't a gag?
Oh, no. No, we take this quite seriously here.
Okay.
But Bush has 4 votes, Perot has 3, and Clinton has 1.
Mm.
Does that surprise you?
Huh?
Does that surprise you at all?
Oh, yeah, well, lately I was over in Saudi Arabia, and when I was over there, they had this election thing. They had this, like, a little statistic thing like this. And, like, 70% of the people said they would pick Bush. And then after the war was over and I got back, I've heard that it's been dropping and dropping and dropping. But I don't know. The other two I just can't take seriously, you know?
Yeah. Well, you think maybe when Perot announces his candidacy, do you think he'll improve then?
When he announces his candidacy.
Well, he hasn't officially done it yet, you know.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you know, there's all this big news about... You know, oh, Perot's the man and everything. I'm like, what has he proven? Not a whole lot.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Sick.
All right. Thanks very much for your help.
Okay.
Take care. And that's what the Minuteman vote from Illinois is. Another vote for George Bush. Bush is now ahead. 4 votes to 3, and Clinton trailing way behind with 1 vote. I don't know what this says about America, about the fast food convenience store vote, whether it reflects, the down-to-earth people of this country. But I think it's something that should be taken seriously, that we cannot ignore. And I hope that representatives from these 3 political parties, political candidates, are listening, are hearing exactly what it is that we have to say here. All right. We're now going to go to our own state. That's right. We're going to New York. In fact, we're going not nearby. Fairly close by, but not too nearby. We're going to White Plains, New York. And I'm not sure what particular kind of story this is, but it's something 24 hours, I believe. Uh-oh.
Huh?
Hello, am I reaching a deli?
Hello?
Yes, am I reaching a convenience store?
No,
oh, I'm sorry. Kevin, you better come in here. I think we just woke somebody up in White Plains. Unless I can't read that handwriting there. Oh, well. Didn't sound like the kind of person that would appreciate being asked who they were voting for. So, okay, we have to go back to White Plains a little later on. And we also have to go back to Delaware, those 2 places. Okay, now let's go back to our phone calls here, see who's on the line and see what's on their minds. Good morning. Anybody there? Good morning.
Hey, Larry, it's Brian. How you doing?
How you doing? What's up?
I was wondering if you could do me a big favor.
What kind of favor is this?
Could you, when you're doing the convenience store thing, could you make a teleconference up now?
Can I make a teleconference up now? With
the 5 people on the line, and then after you do all of them, get our opinions on it or something to that effect?
We'll have to see what other callers want to do. So far, nobody really... I've expressed an interest in that. We haven't really been talking about that.
I'm saying, like, do a teleconference now and then, like, come back to us every once in a while, if you understand.
Well, I'll put you on hold, and I'll see if anybody wants to join you. How's that?
Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot, Eric.
All right, let me put you somewhere else. So I'll put you over there. Okay, he's now in seclusion on that particular line. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Good morning.
Yes, this is Mr. Quayle.
Took you long enough. You're caller number 6.
Yes, I know. I didn't want to get on the first 5 because I thought you were going to do teleconferences, and I didn't want to get on with Squeaky, the guy who cursed at me.
Uh-huh. Squeaky, huh?
Do you know Dan Quayle came to Long Island, you said before? He was attacking everybody?
He was. He was lashing out at people.
He attacked Ross Perot, which I think nobody has actually really done before.
Uh-huh.
And he said that...
Well, you know what I say? I say if Ross Perot can't take the heat, he shouldn't be... In Texas.
Uh-huh.
Because he's a Texas billionaire, and you should know what it's like to be hot.
You know, I know who I think Ross Perot's going to choose as his vice president.
Mr. Quayle, hold on one moment. Now, Kevin, we had some difficulty here. First of all, is that a 4?
That's a 9.
You're complaining? Look at your 4s.
Well, my 4s at least, you know, they're consistent,
no,
but
no,
that looks just...
Zero. You don't have any missed dial letters?
So that's a 9. I just woke up this poor guy in white cleans.
That's right. He doesn't know who you are.
Well, all someone has to do, you can hear USB in White Plains, you know. If he was listening, God forbid, if he was listening to the station or somebody,
well, if you just woke him up, anyway.
Somebody recognized his voice and calls him and says that this person, this crazy person on the radio just woke him up. Okay, and we still need to get Delaware. Get through to Delaware.
Yes.
Okay. And how about those other trouble states?
Well, I did the best I could. They gave me Dairy Queens and Dairyette Drive-In.
Well, are they open?
Don't know. They didn't know.
Okay. Well, we'll have to figure this out. Are you sticking around or are you taking off?
I'm going to stick around.
Okay, great.
Hey, because, that works, man.
Yeah, we want to see how this scientific fall turns out. We have Mr. Quayle on the line now. Mr. Quayle, you must be very happy. George Bush has jumped out to an early lead over Ross Perot and quite a lead over Bill Clinton.
Yes, but I think that he should do another one. One with all the stupid people who work at the convenience stores at 12:30 and...
Well, you know, I think it's really kind of disrespectful to call the people in convenience stores stupid, especially if they're supporting you as a candidate.
Well, if they're supporting Ross Perot, then they're stupid. They know absolutely nothing about Ross Perot. I think maybe if you did one about convenience stores and then you did one for law offices during the day, it would be a big difference.
Well, now, we're not on during the day. We have to do our calls at night. We have to do our calls live, and the people at law offices aren't in. We'll just have to call them at their homes. Now, that could have been somebody who works in the law office we just called now. He didn't sound very friendly.
You were saying before about the environmental summit, how it was disgraceful.
It was
a success.
Well, I don't know. It was a success for people that want to see George Bush look like a fool,
George
I guess.
George Bush took the lead, even if to save American jobs.
Uh-huh.
Do you have today's paper?
Yeah, actually, I have a couple of today's papers.
So go to Newsday on the one about George Bush and the summit. He has some statistics there about environment.
Statistics about what page is this on?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, I don't see any statistics here. I see advertisements for stores that are going out of business.
Like on page 6, maybe.
Page 6. Now I see a picture of Robert Moses State Park, an article about a Nazi, and something about the NRC finally dismantling Shoreham.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah. I see a picture of George Bush standing alone on a podium.
All right. While you're looking for the numbers, he has numbers there, like 97%. I want to ask you a question. In the last 10 years, if we have to spend an amount of money to help preserve the environment,
how
much would you spend?
Well, you know...
Give me a number figure. It's important.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you asking as a nation, as a person?
If you were president of the United States for the last 10 years, how much money would you have spent to help the environment during these 10 years?
I'd say at least as much as was spent on military, at least. Probably more.
How much?
Well, what...
I need a number figure.
I would say... All right, let me think about this. What is our defense budget? I'd say up to... A couple hundred billion dollars, maybe close to a trillion.
A trillion?
Well, yeah, as far up to that as we can get, sure.
President Bush and former President Ronald Reagan have spent $800 billion on the environment. In the next 10 years, they're expected to spend over $1.5 trillion.
Well, what is your definition of spending money on the environment? Is that paying people salaries who work for the EPA? Is that...
I mean saving land, saving... I mean, well, these kind of lands.
Well, I hope they've saved their receipts, because I'd like to see that myself. I'd like to see exactly what it is they spent money on.
And you
it hasn't been reflected around here, that's for sure.
And you say this thing wasn't successful. Did you find the statistics yet?
No, there are no statistics. And it has been successful on the national front. All I see is the Interior Department wanting to have more logging in the Pacific Northwest. Did you see the picture in the paper a couple of days ago taken from outer space that shows how the forests in the Pacific Northwest are in far worse shape than the Brazilian rainforest because of all this deforestation that the loggers are doing?
No.
It proves beyond a doubt that those forests are in danger and that the environmentalists are right. And I know that everything that's been happening around here that involves land preservation has been because of local government, not because of federal government.
Why do people blame people in the United States for the problems with the Brazilian rainforest? We can't do anything about it. What can we do?
Well, we are one of the leading industrialized nations in the world. We We're avid consumers. We're constantly spending money on worthless things. I think what the world is asking us to do is to spend some of our money on worthwhile things, because we do have more money than anybody else, even though we don't spend it wisely.
You know, you've been asking these, all these people, who are they going to vote for? Why don't you give us a specific answer? Who are you going to vote for?
Well, you see, I'm not the person being polled. I'm the poller. You never, look, when those Gallup poll people call you, right, and they must call you all the time, you never ask them what they think, and they never tell you if you do. It's like some kind of unwritten rule.
Are you ever going to tell us?
Well, I don't know. Maybe someday.
Are you going to vote, definitely?
I don't know. When's Election Day?
November 3rd.
November 3rd. I'll have to see what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
It's not a holiday, you know. You don't get off for that day.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm doing another one of my 48-hour shifts, it's, I don't know.
Aren't you angry with the Democratic Congress?
I'm angry with every Congress.
I mean, for the Democrats who killed the balanced budget amendment?
Well, it seems like a good idea, you know, because the national debt is what, over $1 trillion now? This country is in big trouble.
Way over that.
Big, big trouble. I don't know what's going to become of it.
See, it's the Democrats. The Republicans want to help control the deficit, and the Democrats say no.
Uh-huh.
I understand why people like Tom Downey don't want to vote for that, because if they can't balance, say, checkbook, then they can't balance the federal budget.
Well, Tom Downey, I don't think, was the major problem. I think it was, what's his name? I forget his name. The guy barely pronounced his name.
Oh, Moynihan?
No. Local representative.
Oh, I don't know.
Who wrote the most bad checks. Anybody remember his name?
Phil Ross.
How do you like that? You know, you write bad checks, and next month you've forgotten completely.
Hazarick?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Mrazek.
Stupid Democrat.
Mrazek. Well, he's a Democrat. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't write bad checks.
Don't you think they should be punished?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely. But I don't think Downey was one of the leading offenders.
He wrote 151.
That's really, I mean, over what period of time?
Oh, I don't know. But, you know, if...
I don't think we know enough about it, to be honest. I mean, they did say that the bank allowed them to do this, and all they did was play by the rules. So why were the rules like that in the first place? I want to know who was responsible for that.
Don't you think a good idea that would be anybody who bounced more than 25 checks would be fired from their job, and then the person with the second
amount...
Well,
they weren't hired on their check-writing abilities on balancing checkbooks.
They should be fired, though, for their illegal actions.
I don't know. First of all, why a congressman writing checks in the first place? Shouldn't their staff be the ones writing checks? Shouldn't they be paying the bills and things like that?
They have a house bank, and they get to control it.
I don't know. I'd like to know more about how the house bank worked, but I think that's something that's even a bigger scandal.
Why are all these people calling the show and attacking George Bush and Dan Quayle?
I don't know.
That at all.
Call it a breakdown in democracy. Call it, a crumbling of everything we stand for. But ask me why, because I don't know.
And all people say, why should we vote for Dan Quayle in 1996? Who else is there? We need Dan Quayle to carry on the tradition of Ronald Reagan and George Bush.
Well, now, 1996 is 4 years away.
Yes.
4 years ago, we learned of Dan Quayle, and 4 years before that, no one had ever heard of him. So, who knows what's going to pop up by 1996.
Dan Quayle is gaining stature among conservatives now, because he...
Yeah, he is gaining quite a bit of things.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, no, you can take it for whatever you want to take it for, but he has...
Oh.
His name is certainly coming up quite a bit.
I know, he's going to be attacking everyone.
Oh, I know, and they're going to be attacking him, too.
You know why Ross Perot was up in all these polls? Is because George Bush doesn't have the time to play politics and waste all the time yelling at Bill Clinton and Ross Perot. He has to do his job as president, and that's why. And I think Ross Perot has numbers like around 40%, and Bush is 24, and Clinton's in third, just in third.
Do we have any patriotic music?
No, and... George Bush.
Just something, some kind of a march or something like that. Yeah, that'd be fine. Thank you.
George Bush is going to win by a landslide in 1992.
Uh-huh.
There's no denying it.
Okay, well, let's go back to our convenience store poll.
Wait, vote Republican and Quayle 96.
All right, I'm glad you got that out. 632-6901 is our telephone number. And okay, let's go back to Delaware and see if we can get a straight answer from those folks, if we can get a regular telephone number and not an 800 number that doesn't work from here. I'm not sure. Okay, I think that's a 9. I don't want to wake anybody else up. You know what? I'm going to wait until he gets back to ask him if that's a 9 or a 4. I do have trouble with that. But since I know that this is a 9. Oh, wait. Is this a... What is this? Is this a 9 or a 4?
That's a 9.
That is a 9. Okay.
That's a 4.
Yeah, that's what I figured, but I wasn't sure. Do you know in Europe they make 7s like that? I didn't know that.
In Europe they make 7s like this.
What? All right, they do that too, but you ever see a 1? It's like that. That's a 1. Yeah. Is that amazing or what? Can you believe that's a 1?
Well, if you tell me, I'll believe it.
That is a 1.
Okay.
It looks like an upside-down V for those of you that cannot see this. Anyway, let's go to Delaware then. And see what the general feeling is over there. Should be Newark, Delaware, I believe. I don't know what kind of fast food we're reaching here. Yes, hi. Is this a convenience store?
Yeah?
Yes, hello. We're taking a random survey. I'm calling from WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York. And we're asking people, if the election were held today, which of the three candidates they would vote for. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, do you have an answer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who would you vote for?
This is 7-Eleven.
I realize that. We're calling 7-Elevens all over the country.
Yeah.
And we're asking you who you would vote for if the election were today. Would you vote for Bush, Clinton, or Perot? It's valuable network time here.
Fuck nice, sir.
Just say one of the three, whichever one you would vote for. Any feeling whatsoever? We have a case of mental paralysis here. Let's try massaging your brain.
Busy.
Yeah. Oh, you sound very busy. But do you have just one name: Bush, Clinton, or Perot?
Okay, Bush.
Bush. Okay. Thank you very much. That is what I call grace under pressure. You had to make a decision on the spot, and chose Bush. That seems to be the mood of most people that vote for Bush, too, you know. Okay, Bush. All right. You don't get the feeling he feels all that proud of what he's just done, but he's committed the state of Delaware to George Bush, which means that Bush has a commanding lead now, 5 votes to Ross Perot's 3, and Bill Clinton still is holding on to his 1. That vote coming from Mississippi. Now, let's go back to White Plains and see if we can succeed in doing this without waking somebody else up. Right, that is a 9, yes, all right. I just wanted to make sure. We should be reaching some kind of convenience store in White Plains. Well, you know, either they're busier than the people in Delaware, or they're not busy at all because they're closed. Either way, we're going to give this a couple more rings, and we'll have to try something else if that doesn't work. Okay. Enough of that. We're going to go back to New York a little bit later on and journey out to the large, majestic state of Minnesota. St. Paul, Minnesota. You notice how all the rings sound exactly the same? Used to be they sounded all different.
Supermercarization front.
Yes, hello. Am I reaching St. Paul, Minnesota?
This is St. Paul, Minnesota.
Great. I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random survey of Americans tonight to ask them if the election were held today.
Warren, I can't tie up the telephone overnight for a survey. I'm sorry.
You can't do that, huh? Okay, well, I'm sure saying one name would have certainly lost this person customers. Okay, so Minnesota is going to be difficult then. We have to get back to both New York and Minnesota. Can't tie up the telephone with surveys. Ask them one question, one name. I'll look that person up when I get over there. Okay, let's go to our next state. which is Nevada. Reno, Nevada. Hey, Minnesota gave us some difficulty. We're going to have to deal with them. You got patriotic music?
Okay. Please don't 7-Eleven.
Yes, hi. Am I reaching Reno, Nevada?
What, honey?
Am I reaching Reno, Nevada?
Yes.
She called me honey. Yes, hi. I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to ask you one question. If the election were held today, which of the three candidates would you vote for?
Bush.
You would vote for Bush?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to give us any particular reason or just want to say that?
Well, Clinton is just not quite what I'd want, and Perot is worse than all three.
Uh-huh. How is he worse?
Perot?
Yeah.
I think he'd be just a bigger crook than the two that are ahead of him.
Yeah? Because he's a Texas billionaire?
Oh, no. I don't think just being a millionaire is... No, I'm that smallest. Why do I think he's a bigger crook than the other two?
Yeah.
Oh, I just think he is. Just from many things. He may be a businessman, but he's really not into politics enough. I don't think he'd make it. Actually, if I was going to vote for anybody, I'd vote for Bob Griff.
I don't know that name.
He's running under a People's Choice type thing. But he won't be on the deal this year.
Uh-huh.
But he will be. Give us time.
Yeah. What party does he represent, or what type of party?
The party that wants to overthrow the government, I think.
Oh, really?
Basically. Huh? It's just people that want reform, want to kind of go back to basics and not have quite so many crooks in.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds pleasant.
Yeah.
sounds like a change.
It's nice to get somebody in there like that.
Yeah. Okay, listen, thanks very much for giving us your opinion.
You're welcome.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's the opinion from Reno, Nevada. We're George Bush again. We have another vote for George Bush. Okay, I'm going to give you back this piece of paper after I finish this last state. But Minnesota, they couldn't tie up the phone to give us an answer to deal with surveys. They did not want to tie up the phone. It was a business line, and they needed the phone to deal with business and things like that. So they could not give us an answer.
What do you want me to do?
The way I see it, it takes more words to say I can't use the phone because it ties up the phone than it is to say Bush, Clinton, or Perot, you know, or even all three of them. It takes less time to say one of those names. So we're going to have to get something else in Minnesota. And we're also going to have to get something else in White Plains because this number does not answer. And the only number that does answer belongs to somebody that we woke up, so we can't call him again. I think he'd be livid with rage. So what we're going to do now is call St. Louis, St. Louis, Missouri, and get a reply from them. Get a straight answer from the folks in St. Louis, and then we'll go back to some more calls here. 632-6901, area code 516. I think we're reaching a 7-Eleven in St. Louis or something equivalent. It must be really busy there. What do you say? One more ring or two more rings? Two more rings. Okay, looks like we're going to need something else from Missouri as well. So we need new numbers for these three states.
Well, you know, sometimes there's stuff that's not open 24 hours. Like 7-Elevens in like Hick states will close down.
Well, I don't know if you want to call Missouri a Hick state, but I'm sure there's something, like maybe the emergency number of the police or something that's open. That's just an example. I didn't
what about
mean that.
Dunkin' Donuts? You think
yeah, Dunkin' Donuts. There you
there
go. That's perfect. Although, I'll be honest with you. I have found the people in Dunkin' Donuts to be rather surly sometimes.
I used to work in a Dunkin' Donuts. Thank you.
But, see? It's exactly that kind of touchiness that I'm talking about. But you can't even take a bit of criticism, like, you know, hey, that donut has a maggot on it or something like that. Oh, no. You don't like it. Why don't you go someplace else? Why don't you go to the other 24-hour donut store that exists? Well, there isn't another 24-hour donut store. That's why we go there.
Miss Donut.
There's no Miss Donuts anymore. There's no Miss Donuts.
I could have sworn I just passed one up in the...
Do you remember when that place called Twin Donuts was open in Corum? I don't remember it ever being open. I just remember it always being out of business.
With the broken window and the sign saying for rent.
I remember it ever being open. I mean, it was open once.
Once.
As far as I'm concerned, they could have just put that abandoned building there from the beginning of time and just said, you know, it's always been out of business.
Nathan's is gone, too.
Nathan's is gone, but the game room is still there.
The game room is still there.
That's unbelievable. How could the game room stay without Nathan's?
Don't know. Well, because it's a drug thing.
That's like having the condiment thing, you know, without without the store attached to it. That's like having the napkin stand in Burger King without the burgers.
But actually, you don't want to eat at Nathan's.
Well, I don't think we should get into
it. I have a weenie story to tell you. All right, give me that paper.
Okay. So we want 10, 11, and 12 one more time. Okay, we got a whole new list of potential characters here. Let's go back to some of our phone calls. Good morning.
Hi. Can I go on the teleconference, please?
I'm going to tie you in with what's-his-name, who's on the other line.
Cool. It sounds good.
All right. Do you have anything to say to the listeners at home?
Yeah, it's Jeremy from Unconquered. Can I say hi to a few people?
Go ahead.
Chris Knott, Kevin, Jason, Tom, Mike, Lori, Kira, Janine, Jesslyn, Gabe, Doug, Lori, Kathy, Blondie, Barbarella, Valerie. Thank you.
All right. Hold on, and we'll connect you in to... Is there anybody still on this line?
What's going on, Eric? Oh, Brian.
Hey, you're still waiting for somebody. Okay, somebody wants to talk to you, so we're going to patch them into you.
Okay, cool.
Hit some magic buttons here. Okay, the two of you are now united in holy bliss and all that. So
all right,
take it away.
All right.
Okay, they're talking to each other in privacy, and we're going back to the phones. Good morning. You know, that sounds like a 1,200 baud modem. I don't think you want to be on a teleconference with the kind of line you have. What? Are you making that noise? That noise, it sounds like a basketball crowd. You know what that is? That's crosstalk. Hang on, could you be quiet for a second so we can listen? Wow, listen to all that. There's conversations, ringing, a modem. That's really bad crosstalk there. All right. Well, unfortunately, you're going to have to come in again because that's the worst crosstalk I think I've ever heard. Okay, good morning.
Yeah, Eric.
How you doing?
Fine. Would you like to know who I vote for president?
And in fact, I was wondering that.
I thought you were.
Okay.
I would vote for Andre Moreau.
You know, somehow that name does not surprise me. I knew that name would come up sooner or later.
Well, it has come up then.
Okay, and that's who you would vote for.
Yeah. And what's that? Except right now they don't have ballot access, and they won't let us try to get signatures till July 1st. So sort of short notice, don't you think?
Well, that's usually how things work.
Yeah, well, it's such a short time, though.
Well, that's what I mean. That's usually how things work. They usually don't give you any time, so you can't really do this kind of thing.
And we have to get, like, twice as much signatures than the Right to Life party and stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
Well, also, you were saying, like, Perot's waiting for someone to build his platform?
Right. He's looking for a carpenter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How about Jesus Christ?
Hey! Now, there's a match made in heaven.
Exactly. Well,
actually, there's no smoking in heaven, so I don't think that would be proper, but never mind.
Is that supposed to mean something?
No, actually, I'm surprised I even said that, but I'll just pretend I didn't.
I just want to know, would you be able to answer a question?
Well, you know, that is an interesting point. And it's something that I can't really get into right now,
but
someday in the future I would be able to address that issue.
No, I just want to know. It's like, you know midlife crises?
Not personally.
No, but how come they call them midlife crises?
Because
I'm in midlife. So if you have like a midlife crisis at 60, you should live to 120 then?
That's basically it. That's why it's to everybody's advantage to keep, you know,
keep
putting off
that
midlife crisis. If you feel one coming on, you know, try not to deal with it and postpone it.
Are you going to call North Carolina tonight?
It's North Carolina on the list. North Carolina is not on the list for this week. North Carolina will be doing next week.
So I wanted to know if you could ask, like, how much a pack of cigarettes it costs down there.
Well, why would that have anything to do with presidential elections?
Because I'm trying to find out here. It's like I want to see how much the state tax is for New York. Because, like, a carton of cigarettes down there costs, like, $8, but up here they cost, like, $19. So we're paying, like, more than double it.
Well, smoking's not good for you anyway.
So? I just want to see. And also, I live in Coram, and I remember the Twin Donuts being opened.
You do?
Yeah, it used to be open when that lot was a drive-in movie.
Now, I remember the drive-in movie. That I do remember.
It's like the Twin Donuts used to be open during that.
You know, I've never seen a drive-in movie.
I did when I was like a little.
I probably never will. I mean, there aren't any anymore, are there?
No. Well, could you hook me up to the teleconference?
All right, hold on. Let's get in somebody else on the teleconference. This teleconference still going on?
It's still going on.
Huh? Okay, we got a third person to add here, so hold on while we bring number three in there. And everybody should be linked together. Are you all together?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go and continue your conversation while we go back to the phones and see who else is calling in. Good morning.
Yeah, how's it going?
How you doing?
What do you call it? Can I go on the teleconference?
Yeah, hold on. Is there anything you want to say?
No, it's my mom and dad.
Okay.
All right.
Mom and dad are listening. All right, we got yet another person for your teleconference, so hold on while we bring somebody else in. Okay, there should be four people now on this line.
Yeah. Who's there? I'm just Kev from my conference.
How you doing, Kev?
Hey, Kev, what's up? What's up, Chair?
Not real.
I'm glad you can call. Yeah,
okay.
Think it took long enough. Yeah, right?
I fell asleep. Okay, all right. If they're going to complain about how long it took, we can just put them on hold and they can continue their conversation without the prying ears of all of Long Island. Let's continue our survey now. Where shall we go next? Okay, how about in Pennsylvania? Yes, Pennsylvania is a state just to the west of New Jersey. We're going way to the west of New Jersey, though, going to Pittsburgh. A 24-hour convenience store in Pittsburgh.
So,
Yes, hello. Am I reaching Pittsburgh?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight.
Sure.
And we just wanted to know, if the election were held today, which of the three candidates would you vote for?
I couldn't even tell. I haven't been paying attention.
Really? Bush, Clinton, Perot, the names don't mean anything to you?
Well, Clinton, I know. I've heard him. I've heard about him, so.
Uh-huh.
That's about it.
Do you generally vote on election days?
Generally, not always. Like, I've been really tied up this past year. I haven't.
Yeah.
Especially with working hours like this, so I don't
keep
track of it too much.
Uh-huh. So, can we write you down for no opinion, or is there anybody you want to cast your vote for?
No opinion.
Okay, great. All right, thanks very much. And Pennsylvania has abstained. So we got to make another column here for abstentions. Okay, Pennsylvania has abstained. That's rather shocking, don't you think? Bush now has 6 votes, Perot 3, Clinton 1, and we have 1 abstention. In the event of a tie, we'll, of course, be calling on Pennsylvania again to possibly break that tie. In the meantime, let's go back to Bismarck, North Dakota. See what the feeling is out there. Yes, hi. Am I reaching Bismarck, North Dakota?
Right.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio. We're in Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random survey of Americans tonight. And we'd just like to ask you one question. If the election were held today, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
Out of Bush, Clinton, and Perot?
Yeah.
Perot.
You go for Perot. You can't tell us why.
I just figure he's a businessman, and businessmen know how to run a business. They know how to run a business. They know how to handle America's finances.
Uh-huh. That's an interesting perspective. It's interesting. We've been surveying people at 7-Elevens throughout the country, and Perot has had a pretty strong showing. Bush is slightly ahead, and Clinton is way behind.
Mm.
Does that surprise you at all?
Not really. Just about everybody here, I think, would vote for Perot.
You think most people in North Dakota would vote for him?
Yeah, a lot of them would. It's between, I think, Clinton and Perot. Not too many are going for Bush.
I see. Okay, and one of my producers here wants me to ask you your approximate age group. You don't have to be specific, but where you stand age-wise.
I can say I'm 18 right now.
Okay, that sounds good to us. All right, thanks very much for your input.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. Why'd you make me ask her how old she was? That embarrassed me.
No. Any legitimate survey would you want to know what age group?
your...
Well, it means I have to call all these people back now and find out how old they are. Look, the point of this is you don't ask how old your electoral college representative is. You know, it doesn't matter. You just, you know, it's just a vote. It's just a vote.
I didn't know you were doing it from that standpoint.
That's one state carries all.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Vote per state.
I apologize.
That's how this
I thought
working.
It was only fair, since 7-Eleven writes down how old you are when you shop in there now. I thought it was only fair that you asked them how old they are.
Well, next time I go to 7-Eleven, I'll be sure to do that at the counter when they're proofing me or whatever. I'll ask them how old they are. But,
no, it's a new demographics thing they're doing.
Yeah. All right, let's... We're going to have to hurry because we've got about 10 states to get to and we only have a half hour. Did we get...
Yeah, I need your help on one more.
You mean you need my help? I'm on the air.
No.
I'm going to need your help turning over this tape. Well, let's continue.
Okay, for St. Paul, I've tried Dunkin' Donuts. I've tried everything. Now I'm on Irish pubs. Okay, I've tried Murphy's.
Oh, no, we don't want to call it Irish pub.
I've been trying. They don't have anything.
All right, then try Minneapolis. Then Minneapolis is a much bigger city.
Okay. Well, give me some other cities.
Well, Minneapolis is
same area.
Duluth is Duluth, Minnesota. I will say Duluth. What?
Same area code?
Yeah, I think it's the same area code. I think the whole state is that area code.
Okay.
And what about White Plains? You got a number for White Plains?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, that's good. And let's see. And you got another number in Missouri. Okay, great. So when you come back with Minnesota, we'll tackle all three of those. If you could just put that over there. We're going to continue now with Vermont. That goes, so does the rest of the nation. Must have been Voltaire, somebody like that. But this is the number for a Dairy Queen. I'm not sure if Dairy Queens are open 24 hours. Yeah. Oh, you know what else you can also try? You can try hotels. Howard Johnson's. Howard Johnson's in there. Motel 6. I don't know. There are all kinds of things that are open 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling Dairy Queen isn't going to answer. I'm going to have to put a big circle around that as well. Oh, I mean, we're not doing too badly. I understand we're doing better than most... most pollsters that have all kinds of horrible reactions. Let's go to Georgia. Going to Macon, Georgia. What a great name. And I believe this is a Circle K. Whatever a Circle K is, I think we've got one on the phone now that's ringing. Who named it Circle K? What a strange name. I mean, you can understand 7-Eleven. Yeah, Wawa. That's another one. Those of you who have never been to Pennsylvania, Wawa is the equivalent of 7-Eleven. Although they have both. They have a 7-Eleven and a Wawa within sight of each other. Okay, looks like we bombed out there, too, so nothing in Georgia. Let's go to Detroit. We're going to... Yeah, this is the city vote here, folks. We're not just getting, you know, the country areas. We're getting deep within major cities in the United States.
Good morning, 7-Eleven.
Yes, hello. Is this Detroit, Michigan?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight.
Yes, I may have to work, though.
Okay, can we just ask you one question?
Sure.
Okay, if the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
By default, Perot.
By default, huh? Okay, that's how a lot of people are putting it tonight.
Well, Bush can be beaten. Clinton's not the man to beat him.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't vote for Bush. I voted for him last time, but I wouldn't vote for him this time. And that leaves Pearl by default.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks very much for participating.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
So that that vote from one of America's major cities, Detroit, has moved Perot within one vote of George Bush. So it's tightening up now. Clinton still has that one lone vote he got from Mississippi. Okay. Perot is now one step closer. Let's go up now to Massachusetts. And this is one that you got under threat of a supervisor, huh?
Uh-huh.
You have to... Ask for a supervisor to get this phone number. It's a very valuable phone number.
Good evening, Cumberland Farms.
Hello. Am I reaching Amherst, Massachusetts?
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight.
Oh.
And we'd like to ask you one question.
Okay.
If the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
Bush, all the way.
You'd vote for Bush?
Oh.
Okay, that's all we wanted to know then.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You would think Amherst would be a bit more liberal.
Very enthusiastic, though.
I've noticed that. A lot of the Bush people are enthusiastic. A lot of them are just like, yeah, okay, Bush, let's get it over with. A lot of them are like that. Okay, so Massachusetts surprisingly cast its vote for Bush, and that puts Bush two ahead of Perot now. We have Bush with six votes. I'm sorry, Bush with seven votes. Perot with five votes. Clinton with one abstention.
Who was the abstention again?
The abstention was Pennsylvania.
Huh.
Pennsylvania abstained, you know. That's not very democratic of them.
Probably one of the Amish.
Okay, now we're going to call Iowa City.
The Amish don't vote, do they?
I think they could. I don't know if they do, but I think they
so it's probably an Amish person you got. But then again, they wouldn't have a telephone.
This is Iowa City. Now, it's a Dairy Queen in Iowa City, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think Dairy Queens are open 24 hours. Doesn't appear like they're open 24 hours.
I'll do the Dunkin' Donuts Motel thing then on that one.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to move on then. We're going to move on to Colorado. Now, did you get a number from Minneapolis?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for you to get, and then I'll do them all again.
Well, why don't you do that piece of paper? Because it's a different piece of paper than this piece of paper. You'll be doing this piece of paper while I'm back on that one.
You make a horrible boss.
Well, I have to. I'm sorry. We only have 20 minutes left, and we have to get through half the nation. I'm sure that's been said before by many conquerors, but we are moving now to Colorado. The wonderful town of Pueblo, Colorado. That's where they make all the public service announcements. You know, you write for various booklets. You always have to write to Pueblo, Colorado, and send a self-addressed stamped envelope. Hello, am I reaching Pueblo, Colorado?
Yep.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random survey. We'd like to ask you one question.
Got it.
Okay. If the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
Good question. Perot.
You'd vote for Perot?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, a lot of people from 7-Elevens are voting for Perot, we've noticed.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, you sound busy there, but thanks very much for helping us out.
Sure, thanks.
Okay. And that's one more for Perot. So Perot, once again, moves within one of George Bush. This is going to be a tight election, folks. Real tight here. Colorado. Goes for Perot. All right. I have my doubts about Montana because Montana is another Dairy Queen. And Dairy Queens have not been answering their phones tonight. We don't know what it is, if it's apathy or what, but Dairy Queens have not been playing a part in this election. It's been mostly 7-Elevens, Cumberland Farms, that kind of thing, but Dairy Queen vote just is not there. Okay, we're going to move on to Paducah, Kentucky. I believe what we're reaching here is a dairy drive-in of some sort. Remember when every ring sounded different? They all sound the same now. It's called standardization. Now, these dairy places, I don't know, they're just not giving us any answers here. Okay, we have to move on. Now we're going to Wheeling, West Virginia. And I think this is a 7-Eleven in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Jen speaking, may I help you?
Yes, hi. Am I reaching Wheeling, West Virginia?
Excuse me?
Is this Wheeling, West Virginia? Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight, and we'd like to ask you one question.
Okay.
Okay, if the election were held tomorrow, which of the three candidates would you vote for?
For president?
That's right.
Well, it wouldn't be Bush. Okay. Would you vote for president?
Democrat?
Well, yeah, Democrat, but, I mean, who would you vote for?
Yeah, you got to say his name.
Oh, what's his name?
Oh.
It's not Clinton, is it? No, that's a mistake. I don't know. I guess I'd vote for Bush.
Well, you have a choice of three, Bush, Clinton, or Perot.
It would be Clinton.
Oh, you would vote for Clinton?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I don't like Bush.
Is that the view of your coworker too?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay. All right, thanks very much for helping us out.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Where was that?
Well, I think I sort of snagged that vote for Clinton because she said Bush at one point. I think it was just like to get me off the phone. And then she went back and said, okay, when I named Clinton, she didn't really know who he was, that Democrat, but she wasn't sure. When I said Clinton, she said, okay, Clinton. So Clinton has now doubled his number of votes. He has two.
Wow. Doubled.
Yeah, Bush is still ahead with 7 votes. Perot is behind with 6. And one abstention.
Finish off this page. Comfort Inn, one is in the airport, and the other is in St. Louis.
Okay, I've got one more to do on this page, and then I'm going to give you back this page.
All right, hurry.
Which has a bunch of Dairy Queens, and none of them answered.
Yeah, I'll try the other routes.
Okay. So one place we have to go to is Oklahoma.
This is fun, Eric.
This is lots of fun. Yeah, we can do this for all kinds of...
Next time I'll go out on the road and do it. It'll probably take a little bit longer, though, huh?
We're getting to meet people from all over the country tonight. And they're learning the importance of participating in a survey. Wow, that was a quick answer, wasn't it?
Mm.
It wasn't an answer at all.
It was a dump.
You know what that is? That's one of those weird fax phones.
The switches?
Yeah, switches.
Well, we'll leave a fax.
Isn't that a strange ring?
735.
Yes, hi, am I reaching Oklahoma City?
This is Norman.
Okay, but you're in Oklahoma City, right?
God.
Am I reaching Oklahoma City, Oklahoma?
No, this is Norman.
Oh, okay. Oh, Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying your name was Norman. Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio. We're in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight. And we'd like to ask you one question, if that's possible.
Sure.
Okay, if the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
Clinton, I suppose.
You'd vote for Clinton. Okay. And any comments you want to make on Clinton?
Not really. I don't really follow politics that much.
Okay. Can we ask you one more question? You have a strange telephone. You have some kind of a fax phone there? Is that what that is?
I think.
I just have to ask these things. Yeah, because it rings in a weird way, and we noticed that as we were coming in.
It has some kind of box. I can run fax through it.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, it was pretty impressive there. All right, well, thanks very much for speaking with us. And Norman is near Oklahoma City, is that right?
Yeah, about half an hour away, maybe less.
Okay. All right, well, thanks so much for speaking with us. And good night.
Oh, God.
Well, I guess things aren't that exciting in Oklahoma.
Oh, probably was.
I guess that might have been the high point of his life there.
Oh, God.
Far be it from me to judge. All right. Yeah, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, 30-mile drive. Norman.
Norman. Oh,
I'm glad I didn't. I figured that out real quickly. We could have gotten into like a real fight there. You know, Norman. Norman from. I almost said thank you, Norman, too. That was a kicker. Okay, so we failed getting through to Vermont, Georgia, Iowa, Montana, and Kentucky. So that's who we need new numbers for. And now we're going to try for the ones that you
Minnesota
have.
Minnesota and Missouri and the Comfort Inns. What is it, an airport?
And New York, too.
Where?
New York.
Kidding, New York?
Well, we didn't call that second one. What is this? Is this an 8, a 7, a 9, or some, like, Swahili character? What is that?
That's a 9.
That's a 9. You sure about that?
It's a balloon with a stick.
All right. All right, so we have Minnesota. But you have a number pointing to another number. What does that mean?
To show you that it's also a Comfort Inn.
Oh, okay, but it's in another state.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are very similar. All right, so we have two Comfort Inns and a Dunkin' Donuts. Is that what a D&D is?
Yeah, D&D. No, it's Dungeons and Dragons 24 hours.
Well, it's not Dunkin' and Donuts. It's D&D. That's what you have here. I don't know what that means.
D&D. Dunkin'
All right, we already did. Did we do Delaware? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Delaware was Bush. Okay. All right, so you be on your way and get those other states.
Okay. You need in New York? I thought you got New York.
No, we got New York. New York, okay. You have the D&D, the Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Donuts, or whatever. All right, although I've told you before, that's been my experience, Dunkin' Donuts people are surly. So I think I think we are going to get a surly person in just a couple of seconds here. Oh, yes, patriotic music. Let's have some patriotic music underneath us so that we can do this with the respect and reverence that it deserves, asking people throughout the nation who they are voting for. The first half this week, the second half next week. And the results of this particular poll will be final. Oh, yes, they will. They're going to be final results, all right. So now we are calling up to White Plains, New York. And we're going to see exactly who they will vote for in a Dunkin' Donuts. That's real great patriotic music you got for us here. Pretty lethargic band here. I want something with a little pomp and circumstance. What's going on with Dunkin' Donuts? They don't answer their phones? They're probably too surly. Yes, hello. Am I reaching White Plains, New York?
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight. And we wanted to ask you one question. Can you answer one question for us?
Okay,
if the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for? Sorry?
Hello?
Yes, we were asking who would you vote for if the election were held tomorrow?
I cannot hear you. It's very busy here, you know?
It's busy there. Yes, can you hear me at all?
Hello? Can you call back?
Okay, we'll try later.
Okay, thank you.
I don't care. That's surly. That is surly. I mean, she heard me say I could call back, so obviously she could hear what I was saying. I just can't do Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, it's just a thing that I have against Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know what it is. What is it with this? Come on, we got to get something with a little life in it. You call this a marching band? I wanted a marching band. It's the strings. I need strings. Back to Minnesota. See if we can get a result from them. Now we're calling hotels and inns and things like that.
Hello, Comfort Inn?
Yes, hello. Am I reaching St. Paul, Minnesota, or Minneapolis, Minnesota?
Yeah, this is the Comfort Inn in Minneapolis.
Okay, great. I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey of Americans tonight.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to ask one question.
Okay.
If the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
I would vote for none of the three major candidates.
An abstention? Or do you have another candidate that you'd like to vote for instead?
Probably Eugene McCarthy.
Is he running?
In Minnesota, he is. I don't know, but he's on a few ballots, not a ton.
Uh-huh. I know he ran in, what, 1968?
He's ran, yeah, quite a few years. He ran in the last election, too, but he was just on, like, different state ballots, not all over the country, I know.
Uh-huh. And does he have a particular platform?
More liberal than the Democratic platform. He's former Democrats, but he's a lot more liberal than Clinton, so.
Really? Okay, well, that's something I'm sure our New York listeners will be interested in. So, Eugene McCarthy, we'll write that in.
Okay.
Thanks very much for your help.
Oh, sure, no problem.
Bye-bye. And Minnesota surprises us once again, and votes for Eugene McCarthy. I didn't even know Eugene McCarthy was still alive, to be honest. But then again, that shows how much I know. Okay, now we go to Missouri. We're going to try St. Louis one more time. Making up for all the states that weren't home the first time we tried. Now we're calling to St. Louis. Perot can tie this up with a single vote. Bush only leads by one.
Good morning, Comfort in Southwest. May I help you?
Yes, hi. Am I reaching St. Louis, Missouri?
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling from radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. We're taking a random survey tonight of Americans, and we'd like to ask you one question.
Sure.
Okay, if the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
Bush.
You would vote for Bush?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Bush has strengthened his lead then. Bush has 8 votes. Clinton has 3. Perot has 6. And let's just mark that down there. We still have to get through to New York and the other states that Kevin has inside. And while we're waiting for him, let's go back to our phones here. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Can you put me on a second teleconference?
There is no second teleconference. There's only a first, and I'm not sure if I can fit you in, but I will try.
Wait.
What?
Can you start me?
Oh, you want to be started as a second one? Well, I'll try. I don't know if anybody's going to join you, but we'll put you over on a secret line here.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you want to say to the listeners?
Vote for George Bush.
Okay, whatever. We're going to put you over there. He's waiting for people to join him. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
How you doing?
All right. Listen, did you hear the word is out last week?
No, wait a minute. Did I hear some of it? You know, was that the show where nobody was speaking on mic? I was. I was driving around. It was like next to Nassau County, and I would hear somebody say something, and then I would hear somebody answer, and the person answering, you could hear them. They sounded like they were a mile away. And I'm sure the person on, and there's a problem we have here at USB quite a bit. The person on the air probably heard everything he was saying, but people listening on the radio couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm just busting chops. This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. You're the host of that program.
Host of that program.
Well, right? I hope I haven't embarrassed you by saying that.
No, that's okay. I'm going to hang my head in shame, but I do that a lot.
Well, maybe that was the effect you were trying to get. I don't know.
No, it was the, he tends to stay away from the mic, I guess, and we got to get him a little bit closer to the mic from now on.
Who is this he?
It's me, the co-host, the guy who's, that's Matt.
Uh-huh. Well, yes, definitely push him closer to the microphone next time.
Yeah.
Unless you want people to really be straining to listen to the radio, that might be, you know, a good effect.
I know. You know, they train forward and then they got to bounce back whenever I...
Yeah, except when you're driving, it's kind of hazardous to do that.
The reason I'm busting your chops is every time I do the call-in, I have people ask me if I listen to your show, so I figured...
Ah, well, that's good to have a little give and take here. Hold on one moment, Kevin. We're going to need something else in the White Plains because Dunkin' Donuts was surly as I expected them to be.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Oh, God, I hate to tell you this, but I got a couple more Dunkin' Donuts.
You got more Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, that's just great. You got more Dunkin' Donuts. This is horrible.
At Best Western.
All right, I can deal with Best Western, but
Best
Dunkin'
Western.
Donuts. Pretty good.
Best Western. That seems to be the way to go. Or that or Holiday Inn.
Yeah, did we get any Holiday Inns? I don't think we got a single one.
I'm going quickness here, you know what I mean? Just whatever the operator would throw at me.
Okay. So, Mark, what's on your mind tonight?
See you later, Mark.
What do you think about that story there with the teenager who took his male boyfriend there to the high school junior prom?
Where was that? I hear a story like that every year, but I didn't hear this year's yet. Where is it this year? I think it was Rhode Island last year.
Yeah, no, this was Long Island.
Long Island?
Yeah.
Wow.
The other day.
Wow. Oh, the news has hit around here then. Well, why don't you fill us in on it? But you got to be quick because we got about 6 states we got
to
call.
I'll be so quick, I'll just tell people to tune in tomorrow and we're going to have him on the air.
Oh, really?
So it should be a good show. He and his a lover are coming in.
Cool. Well, what time is your program on?
7:30 to 8:30.
7:30 to 8:30. That's right here on this station, which is WUSB in Stony Brook. And last check, we're 90.1 on the FM dial.
Right. And listen, tomorrow's the Pride Parade. I just want to let everyone know about that. It's in Huntington.
That's right. You know, last year we did quite a bit on that. We were talking about that. I remember there's a lot of trouble with that parade, getting it started, getting the permission for it. This year it seems to have gone much more smoothly, and I think there's a lot more support. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, they have the traditional parade route this time instead of the shorter version. It's about 3 miles long. It starts at the Big H parking lot in Huntington. And goes for about 3 miles into Hexer Park. So it should be good. We'll be there with the WUSB van.
We have a van? I didn't know we had a van.
Well, okay, so it's a state van with stickers on it, but it seems to work for me.
Okay, well, you going to bring a tape recorder with you and get some remotes and things like that?
I'm going to try to.
Okay, well, good luck.
Okay, even if you got a chance, throw me on to the first conference.
The first one. Okay, well, we'll see if we can fit you
on.
The
other guy's voting for Bush, so I don't think we have too much in common there.
Okay, hold on, and I'll see what I can do. Of course, that other guy, he's all by himself, but let's see. We're going to try to fit one more person in on this teleconference. You guys still going strong?
We're missing one act.
We got room.
Okay, we got room, so we'll try to move Mark in.
Yeah.
So hold on.
They're just expecting a couple of thousand people there at that march.
Okay, they're all together. A couple thousand people, huh?
Yeah, that's what
that's
news
good.
I said.
We're going to have to move, so let's get going. Let's start with Vermont. Now, if we succeed and get through to all these states, which I believe is about six more states we have to get through in 5 minutes, we will have gotten through half the states of the country tonight.
Hey, hello?
Hi, am I reaching Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes, Open Road.
Hi, Burlington, Vermont?
Yep.
Okay, great. I'm calling from radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random survey tonight.
Sure.
Yeah, we just wanted to ask you one question.
Okay.
If the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
I'll take that Perot guy.
You'll take the Perot guy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds good then. You've moved him within one of George Bush, I'll have you know.
What's that?
You've moved him very close to George Bush in our survey here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so if one more person votes for him, he'll be all tied.
Good, good.
Okay, thanks very much for participating.
All righty.
Take care.
No, so, he wasn't surly. He was very amiable.
No, he was, actually. He must be new. The only thing I can think of. Okay, so Vermont goes for Perot.
Sniffing flour in the back.
Now we're going back to Georgia. And this is still Macon, Georgia, is that right?
Yeah, they corrected my pronunciation.
Well, what'd you say?
I don't know.
What did you say?
McCon.
Oh, God.
And they just let me have it.
Oh, my God.
They were all over me.
All right, listen for the southern twang here.
You can
get a southern twang.
The ring.
And Dunkin' Donuts. This one might not be surly because it is Georgia after all.
There's a law you have to be.
I don't think there's a single surly person in Georgia.
Might not be open Dunkin' Donuts either.
Of course, they might avoid the surliness by not picking up the phone either. You have to wonder, you know, when the phone rings at Dunkin' Donuts, what does it mean? You know, it's either the boss calling or somebody like, you know, some Bart Simpson type person calling in.
There is the morning rush there.
Or they could be extremely busy.
A bunch of truckers came in at once.
Yeah, you don't want to... I would be pretty upset if I dissed a bunch of truckers to answer a phone that was somebody like me on the other end asking a question about the election. Okay, we're going to have to...
cancel that till next week, aren't we?
No, we're not canceling it till next week. We just need another thing in Georgia. Why don't you try something in Atlanta?
Okay, you right, Diamond? Try the next one.
Okay. Atlanta's a different area code.
And of course, you know it by heart.
Of course.
Unbelievable.
There you go. That's Atlanta there.
Okay. Now those... Is that... Very cryptic. Thank you.
Now we're going to go back to Iowa City. Okay, 3 minutes left, four states left. Gonna have to move pretty quickly here.
Best Western West move in, this is Dave.
Hi, am I reaching Iowa City?
Well, Coralville.
Okay, we're in Iowa, right?
Yes.
Okay, hi, I'm calling from radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random survey tonight of Americans, and we'd like to ask you one question.
Okay.
If the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
In the presidential election?
That's right.
Probably Clinton.
You would vote for Clinton?
I want to, but I feel like I'm having my arm twisted here.
Okay. Is that because of like a spouse or something, or just...
No, it's just I don't want to vote for Bush, and I don't really know much about Perot just yet, and he doesn't look too promising to me anyway. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for giving us your opinion.
You're welcome.
Take care. And Iowa has cast its lot with Clinton. That's kind of a surprise to me, actually. Okay, back to Montana. And let's see where Montana goes in this particular presidential election. Coming right down to the wire here. I have a new number, though. Okay, a new number in Georgia.
Buford Hollow. Buford Hollow.
Well, we're not getting an answer in Montana, though. That's troublesome.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, we're going to go to Kentucky. So we're very quickly running out of time here. Okay, Paducah, Kentucky.
Peter Sebastian, this is Bruce speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, am I reaching Paducah, Kentucky?
Yes.
Hi, I'm calling from radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, and we're taking a random survey tonight of Americans. We'd like to ask you one question. Can you answer one question?
Okay.
Okay. The question is, if the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
It would probably be Bush.
Okay, you would vote for Bush.
Right.
Okay, thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. All right, so Kentucky has gone with Bush as well. That somehow doesn't surprise me. Let's quickly go back to Georgia. Okay, if we get through to Georgia, that means we only have one state left. And that is Montana.
And the abstention.
Well, yeah, but they said abstention. So we did get through to them.
Oh, okay.
Duncan?
Yes, hello. Am I reaching Atlanta, Georgia?
Uh-huh.
Is this a hotel?
Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm sorry, is this Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes, sir.
Hi, we're taking a random survey. I'm calling from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to ask you one question. Can you answer one question for us?
Go ahead.
Okay, if the election were held tomorrow, which of the three major candidates would you vote for?
Tomorrow?
Yes. Well, I hope he doesn't go out and vote tomorrow.
My manager is not here right now, so if you call tomorrow morning, it'll be much better.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I guess that's the policy in Dunkin' Donuts where you can't vote without asking the manager.
That's funny. Tomorrow. Right. But if it was next week, you'd have a different answer.
All right. So we're going to have to put two states aside for next week, and those states will be Georgia and Montana.
But as it is now, what was the standing?
So let's see. This should add up to 23 if I did it right. Hold on. 9 plus 4 is 13. Carry the... 7 there, and that's 20, wait a minute, why doesn't that add up to 23? It adds up to 22.
You probably did move one over to the list. Oh, wait, you didn't write down the abstention, did you?
Yes, I did.
Ah.
There's a big A here, and there's I also wrote down the one for Eugene McCarthy. So that's 5, 6, 7, 11, and then another 9 is 20, yeah, 22. Okay, something's wrong here.
You probably just got to transfer one over.
1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20. Oh, there's only 22 in here, too. That means we missed a state. You know what? We never got through to New York.
Oh, you good? Try that one.
We never got through to New York. No, we'll do New York next week,
okay.
Too. Okay, so we got through to 22 states, and here are the results so far, halfway through, nearly halfway through. 4. George Bush, we have 9 votes. For Ross Perot, we have 7 votes. Bill Clinton, 4 votes, 1 abstention, and 1 vote for Eugene McCarthy. He is still alive, isn't he?
Well,
I wasn't sure about
that. People are going to vote for him.
Okay, so it's still kind of close. I mean, Perot is only behind by 2 votes. And we failed to get through to 3 of the states we wanted to get through to this week. Next week we'll be doing 25 more plus these 3, so that's 28 more. So this election is far from over.
Uh-huh.
All right, next week, tune in to find out who the winners are. Stay tuned for the big guy. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Kevin.
No problem. No problem, sir.